All right, let's go back to the Lord in prayer as we pray over the Word before we read God's Word and share in this message. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you as a family of faith this morning, celebrating you in worship. As we lift you up this morning in worship, may you be present with us as we read your Word and share in a message that comes from your Word. Lord, use it to the nourishment of our spirit and our souls. Be with us as we hear your Word. Be with us as we resonate in your Word. And certainly, Lord, be with us as you are present with us today. Be with us as we share in your company and goodness and grace. We ask all this now in our living Savior's name, Christ Jesus. Amen. So our message comes out of 1 Peter 5, 1 through 11. I read a short portion of that for you through the young people's message. But beginning in 5, I'm in the New Living Translation, so if you're following along, beginning with 5 and going through 11. Let's go in now and see what the Lord has to say. And now a word to you who are elders in the churches. I too am an elder, and I witness to the suffering of Christ, and I too will share in his glory when he is revealed to the whole world. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly. Not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Don't lord it over to the people as sign to you to your care, but lead them by your own good example. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders, and all of you dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family, you're a family of believers all over the world, is going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So again, good morning and welcome back to worship. Just briefly, I want to discuss this scripture in 1 Peter, but before I do that, I want to share a personal message with you. Over the last week, week and a half, 2 weeks, but mainly this past week, it was somewhat of a gauntlet, but I had the great fortune and the pleasure and the honor, and was humbled by it, to serve this ministry in different fronts, on different battlegrounds. In saying that, I just want to share with you what an honor and a privilege it is to serve you as your shepherd. This week I found myself in the kitchens of my friends. I have found myself in conversation with my friends here at church. I have found myself bedside with my friends who I love in hospitals. I have found myself in their homes, in their sunrooms, enjoying conversation and catching up. Sometimes as a pastor, it's hard to come and bring you a message that will give you a takeaway. It's difficult sometimes to prepare some things from the heart, maybe that will resonate with you in the sanctuary. Make no mistake, it is a joy to serve you, and it's a joy to be a part of this ministry and share in this ministry outside of this sanctuary with those who we love and care about, and those who have accompanied me as elders and as deacons in some of these events. I thank you for it. And so I was all prepared to give you a first Sunday Lent sermon, and this week has switched directions for me so much that I've read out of 1 Peter because I wanted you to hear the words of the Apostle Peter, and I wanted to try to connect with you the way I felt on your behalf in service to you and to those who I have met with this week. So I want to speak about 1 Peter, and then I'm going to kind of go into a little bit of story about Lent and what to expect for us on the first Sunday. And I'm going to try to circle it back around to 1 Peter. Now, I'll tell you, as this all makes sense to me because I prepared the message, the danger is that you'll have no clue what I'm talking about. If it makes sense to me, you might be the victim this morning. So I give you pause this morning to say, uh-oh, here it comes. So again, without further ado, I'll get to the message, but I do want to thank you, and I want to thank you for the privilege to serve you. It's an honor. And I've been humbled this week in great conversation and friendship and glory, and it's just been special. And so I thank you for that. And the lives that I have spoken to have no idea how well they've touched me, as I hope I have touched them. So in 1 Peter, if you read the book of Peter, you will learn about salvation, holiness, submission, and suffering. And I think it's important for you maybe to go home and read the book of 1 Peter. Every pastor will tell you, well, this is my favorite book in the passage. Well, it's one of my favorites. I love them all, but I really like 1 Peter because it teaches us about salvation, holiness, submission, and suffering. And if you look at all those singular words, you will see that it actually speaks to the life that we lead here on earth right now and the things that we struggle with. This morning, this passage talks about our qualities as Christians and as leaders of the church. Now, let's go back to that word real quick. It talks about our qualities. So I'm resonating back now with the folks that I have had conversation with this week, and I recognize even in their age, regardless, you know, if they're 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, all the way up to 80 or 90 years old, they've been qualified to be God's disciple. And He qualified them. They may not feel qualified, but He's qualified them. And then here we find in 1 Peter, the scripture says that we have qualities as Christians to be leaders in God's church. And I think we can lead from the youth pew all the way to the back pew. I think we can lead in God's ministry, whether we're in the choir, whether we're standing in the pulpit, wherever we are, if we follow the heart of Jesus Christ and we live inside of that relationship, we're all leaders in His church. 1 Peter also teaches us that and shares with us that we have the ability and the willingness to care for others. That's our job. And this week is no different. We have the willingness and the ability to care for those who find themselves in struggle or anxiety or have trouble, health issues, whatever they may be. And then it also tells us that we can serve those people. It tells you that you can serve them. It doesn't say, well, you could if you wanted to. It tells you that you have the ability to. You should serve them. And that is a great privilege to serve the Lord in that capacity. But then he goes to say, but it's not for your benefit. It's for God's benefit. And I learned that so well in this workup this week, leading up to this, that it caused me to come back to Scripture, because I found that even in my advice, there were words that I was saying and I didn't know where they come from. I'm like, there is no way. I left the meeting this week and thought, you weren't smart enough to say that. How did that happen? And that taught me humbly that the Lord speaks when sometimes we don't have words. The Lord acts sometimes when we don't have the ability to act. And He does it through us. And that is hugely important for all of us as his disciples. In verse 7 this week, in verse 7 to this morning, which I want to spend just one more second on because I want to reiterate to all those who I have spent time with, whether they're listening online, will listen online, or they perhaps may be in here, wherever they are, I've spent some time with those folks, and I want to spend just a few seconds of your time this morning on verse 7. Whether you are part of those private conversations, but it's going to benefit us all in this congregation this morning. It says this: give all of your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. How powerful is that? Give all your worries to God because He simply cares for you. In my wonderful conversations on your behalf this week with friends, I repeated those words. This morning I've read them out of Scripture. God cares about whatever troubles you. He is watching over us and is continually concerned for our welfare, both spiritually and physically. He is a continued guardian in our life. Thus, to all here this morning who were not part of those private conversations, here's the point. Trust in God's presence in your life and give Him the things that worry you. And also trust in each other and provide each other counsel or seek counsel from your brother and sister in Christ. Even in your most dire times, you will find uplifting conversation with those who love the Lord as much as you do. And I found that to be a tremendous blessing this week. Now, on to Lent. This past week, we celebrated in two services, Shrove Tuesday and Ash Wednesday. Obviously, Shrove Tuesday is the last day before Lent, known as Shrove Tuesday. And we did that jointly with Pines Chapel Presbyterian Church. And we also shared with in Ash Wednesday with our neighboring church as well. And so, again, we've done this jointly. And so I share with you the purpose of Shrove Tuesday. I kind of call it, I don't know that this is the right term, but biblically it's called the carnival is the common name for the celebration of Shrove Tuesday. And the reason I share that with you is because the Latin term for that is farewell to meat. Now, if you guys look at me, I'm not too happy about no farewell to meat. Okay? So, but again, Shrove Tuesday is the last day before Lent. And so it's kind of the kickoff to Lent, but it's the last time that we can share in goodness and glory and all those things that we enjoy. And then here we find ourselves in Ash Wednesday, the very next day, which begins the day, or the ashes that are burned from the previous Palm Sunday, and they're used to place a mark on our cross on our forehead as we share in the Bible, and the Bible teaches us that dust we came and dust we shall return, and that's all the process of that service. And Lent is a time for us to, leading up to Easter, a traditional purpose is preparation through prayer and repentance and charity and self-denial, and all those things come in the time of Lent. And the reason I bring all this up and want to talk about this is because in this week that I have so much talked about this morning that I endured, I had a conversation with colleagues. And in that conversation with my colleagues, in a secondary conversation, I found out that one of our colleagues, who is a devout Christian, attends church every Sunday, works with the pastors, does mission work, helps out. The conversation came up that one of the colleagues said, well, you know, I'm giving up X for Lent. And our colleague looked at her and said, what's Lent? This is a devout Christian who works in the church every day, but questioned what she needed to do or what they should do through Lent. And so Lent, I want to talk to you about real quick, is traditionally 40 days long. And there's a reason that it's 40 days long. 40 is an important number in Scripture. Ash Wednesday is the first day of Lent, and it ends when we celebrate the glory of Easter. But there's a reason it's 40 days long. I don't know if it's a magic number, but it's a purposeful number. Moses spent 40 days on Mount Sinai when God gave him the Ten Commandments. We see it again, the great flood lasted 40 days. We see it again when Jesus laid for 40 hours in the tomb before his resurrection. And the 40 days of Lent also represent the time that Jesus spent in the desert before beginning his public ministry. During those 40 days, he faced temptation and doubt. And he used that time to purify himself and to prepare himself for his upcoming ministry. And you know, one of the things that I share with my friends that had led me to coming into 1 Peter and reading all that and telling you that personal message was that Jesus himself took time to purify himself. Jesus himself took time in preparation for his upcoming ministry. Jesus spent 40 days preparing for what was to come. And you and I should do the same. It's going to be a lifetime of 40 days, but you and I should do the same. Traditionally, the season of Lent is celebrated by fasting and both in food and parties and different things. And generally, we pick something that we do without for that period of time to recognize that fasting. And that's all okay. And then all of a sudden, here it comes, Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday commemorates Jesus' triumph entry into Jerusalem, where he stood, where people stood alongside the road with palms and they passed by. And on Palm Sunday, we will do the same to commemorate that day. And then Good Friday, where Christians traditionally say that Jesus was hung on the cross at noon. And history tells us that he died somewhere around 3 p.m. that day. A lot of faiths celebrate noon vigils, and we certainly will celebrate a Good Friday service here where we will strip the altar and commemorate his death and his sacrifice for saving you and me. And then comes Easter, probably one of our favorite services here at Bethel. Easter and sunrise service. We'll celebrate sunrise outside in our outdoor chapel. We'll come in and celebrate a huge breakfast together. Then we'll come in here and have a worship service and communion and celebrate the resurrection of Christ Jesus. And so here we go through this period of Lent, and we look at our penitence and our preparation, and then we share in the glory of the resurrection in the next few weeks together. As I looked back on my week and looked at this sermon and thought about that discussion that my colleagues had, and then all those conversations that I had with my friends in ministry, I realized this is a season of hope. Immense hope. Hope that comes and that is signified by Jesus' preparation and then his entry into Jerusalem and then his trial and his crucifixion and the resurrection. But this is where our hope is. And I hope I can bring you back to a point. I told you this all made sense to me, and if it doesn't make any sense to you, I apologize, but this is where I'm trying to bring you to. Over the course of the next several weeks, we will walk together. I think I used the term earlier that we're qualified to serve God. And in this season of Lent, we'll walk together as qualified followers of Christ Jesus. And we'll do that in his last days. We recognize through this walk that we'll do this as the last days of his journey. Well, one of the things that I want to share with you is that's exactly what I did with my friends here in church and in the hospital and in their living rooms, wherever they were, and also with you, is we walk together in a journey. We're better together than we are apart. And we're going to recognize that and commemorate that as we walk together in this season of Lent. And I want us to recognize that this Lenten season is for us to look at our own lives while we let God reflect back to us what we're supposed to do. And I call your attention back to 1 Peter 10:11, where it says, God promises us that when we fall down, or we are pushed down perhaps, he will pick us up. and then He will set us in a secure place. Actually, if you look at that scripture, I believe He's going to set us in a good and secure place. And He will use that difficulty in our life that we have just experienced, or we experienced weeks ago, or whenever it was, He will use that difficulty in our life, and He will allow that difficulty to make us stronger. And we'll be stronger than we ever were because we had that time of suffering or anxiety or trouble. We'll be stronger for it. You see, that's the hope that comes through this season. Because in the end, we know where we're going. We know what's going to happen. We know the glory that comes with the resurrection. That's the purpose of Lent. It gives us time to reflect on our life. This is the hope that I want you to find in this season as we begin it. In Jesus Christ, there is hope that gives us the courage to persevere in our journey. Together we will leave today. We will go hand in hand through the Lenten season, and then we will enter into Palm Sunday, and then Good Friday, and then we'll go into the Easter. We'll still be hand in hand because we have the ability in our faith. We have the capacity in our faith through Scripture this morning that teaches us that we will persevere in our own journey because we are loved by God, and He seeks to love us always. This is hope. This is what we are founded on. This is the goodness that comes even in the most significant bad in our life. This is the hope that is signified by us walking together and sharing in God's ministry here at Bethel and in other places, outside of these walls even. A new life. You know, this week in Bible study, we talked about the resurrection very quickly. Not that it was part of our study. We're actually studying 52 weeks in Psalm. But we talked about Easter. And the comment that was made was, Easter brings a new life, a new day to our lives. Not only did it do it for God or for Jesus, it does it for us. And that's the new life that we look forward to. That's the hope in the beginning of all of this. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is what we're truly celebrating in this season. It's a season that we must be preparing for, but yet look at the glory that we receive. So back to my friends this week that I've spoken to, this is what 1 Peter 5 says, and it's what it's all about. We may be in a battle right now in our life. We may be in a world that's in battle itself. But in this world, we serve Christ Jesus, and Christ loves us. God loves us that He gave His only Son for you and me. And here we are in this season. Thus, wherever we find ourselves and whatever battle we're in, know that God loves you and He sent His Son for you. And this is representative of this season. And God's in charge. He's the general in this battle, on our team. And we must trust in Him. In fact, that's what we read this morning in Scripture. And to all my friends who find themselves in health issues or they find themselves in anxiety that I've spoken to this week, trust in God because He loves you. And you may be in a life battle, but trust me when I tell you, He is present. He cares for you. He loves you. And that's exactly what has resonated in the words of the Apostle Peter this morning. Friends, you can't lose because you're on the right side. You're on God's side. And He's always in charge. And you hear me say all the time, God is good every day, and every day God is good. And that resonates this morning, even in this season, in this beginning season of Lent. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you and be shared with you, and you share it with others. For through your humble hearts, grace will befall you immensely. Amen.